You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
Good morning, everyone. It is great to be back together the week after Easter Sunday. Yeah, did you all have a great meal for Easter? Yeah, my grandma, she makes this incredible eggplant, and we had lamb, and I'm gonna stop because I don't want you guys to be jealous. It was delicious, and it was great time bonding with our family. But there was another awesome thing that happened last Sunday. I don't know if all of you were, well, you were probably all busy with your families, or some of you were, but we have a new sister who decided on Easter Sunday. That is Allie Rodriguez. Allie, where is she? Yeah. Who decided, hey, Easter Sunday is a great day to make Jesus Lord of my life. And it is. But every day is a great day to make Jesus Lord of your life. And so we are going to continue with our theme of power. And today we're going to be talking about power to change. The power to change. You can turn with me to Exodus chapter 5. Now the Bible, you may have, if you've picked up a Bible before, you may have realized that there is a lot of symbolism and a lot of foreshadowing that goes on throughout Scripture. And Israel's time in Egypt was, especially, well, they were slaves in Egypt, was used as an illustration, is often referred to as enslavement to sin, right? Throughout all of the Bible. And it's a demonstration of God's power to be able to change things and change the situation. So where we're going to pick up, they are in a bad situation. Things are not good for the Israelites. At one point, they were regarded with honor. And that was under Joseph's time. When he was alive. But after Joseph died and after the king who knew him passed away, that honor that they had kind of faded. And it turned into about 400 years of slavery. And so where we're about to pick up is towards the end of that 400 years. And if you feel like there has been something that you've been struggling with, that has been a persistent challenge in your life, I gotta tell you, this is the message for you, because if you think about the situation that the Israelites were in, think about this. They're born, and all they know is the life of a slave. Their parents were slaves, their parents' parents were slaves, their parents' parents were slaves, their parents' 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 parents were slaves, their parents were slaves, their parents were slaves, their parents were slaves, and their parents were slaves. How many was that? I kind of lost track, right? Wow. Imagine how generation of generation like that would affect someone's mindset. How it might affect their view of God. Now, for us, we do have things that generationally, right, that we may deal with through our families. Maybe it's a persistent illness that just keeps popping up in your family, or maybe it's some dysfunction that just somehow keeps on coming and is passed from generation to generation. You know, you get trapped in something for long enough, you feel like it's always been that way, and it's never going to change. No matter what you do. And so all you try to do is you just try to make it through the day. Right? You just try to make it through the day. And just hope that today is just bearable. That it's a little better than the day before it. Now maybe it'll go worse the next day. But at least today, God, just let it be a little better than yesterday was. And we've all been there to some degree, right? We've all felt that way. We've all thought that way. We get stuck in a rut. We get stuck in a slump. And we think this is never going to end. And so God chooses a man named Moses A man in his 80s. In his 80s. To go and do something about this. To go and make a change. And that's where we're going to pick up, starting in verse 1. It says, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues and with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave his order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Do not reduce their quota. Double the work, same amount of time. They're lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they will keep working and pay no attention to lies. Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says, I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required for you each day, just as when you had straw. And when Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before? Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh, why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. Then they left Pharaoh. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they say, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh, and his officials have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Wow. What an interaction. Moses goes to Pharaoh and claims, which is a very famous song, you know, let my people go. We know it, yes. Right? So he goes and he makes this pronouncement to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go and worship the Lord. Worship God. And Pharaoh basically, he responds with three things. One, God has no power and authority here. Number two, It'll be fine. There are no consequences if you don't go and worship God. Right? Nothing will happen. And number three, if you take the time to worship God, you won't get as much work done as you would otherwise. Do you see yourself in that? Do you hear Pharaoh's words in your own thinking? Because I think oftentimes we can feel like our relationship with God, or a relationship with God, gets in the way of what we need to get done. Of what we have going on in our busy lives. And I know, we're all busy. We all feel like, right, who here feels like they have time to spare? You know, maybe our preteens and young teens, because they're not here, right? You really feel like you have time that you could just sit and do nothing. No! Most of us don't feel that way. Especially, I know for our college students, final time is coming up. You definitely don't feel that way right now. And so the Israelites' response, right, to getting this new burden placed on them, they say, no way! There is no way that we can do what Pharaoh has put on us. It cannot be done. No, you can't do double the amount of work in the same amount of time. It's impossible. And sometimes we can feel that way because we feel like God has placed extra things in our life that we need to get done. Well, I need to juggle my job. If you have kids, you need to juggle your kids and their schedule. You need to juggle your own relationship with God. If you're married, you need to juggle your relationship with your spouse. If you're anybody, you have to juggle your relationship with your friends. You have to juggle your sanity as well, somewhere in that mix. Usually that's the ball that gets dropped. And so we're sitting here trying to figure out, well, how is this supposed to work? How is it supposed to work? You know, I think that for me is one of the most persistent, faithless thoughts that I have. God, how do I do this? There isn't enough time in the day to do all the things that I want to do and even to make the changes that I know need to be made. Because sometimes before you make a change, you actually have to sit and think about it and what that would look like for that to happen. And maybe like the Israelites, somebody comes in your life and you know, they're a great-hearted, just pure-hearted disciple, but sometimes they don't know exactly how to word things in the way that you feel like they should word things. And they come and they say, look, this is not acceptable. Something needs to change in your life. And like the Israelites, they turn to Moses, they turn to this person and say, may God judge you. May God hold this against you. How dare you talk about me that way? Judge me that way. Put an extra burden on my plate. You don't know what's going on. Moses, it was easy for you. You weren't a slave these past years. You were off frolicking in another land. You don't get it. You don't get what I've been through. You don't get my struggle, my life. Do you know this is how it's been for generation to generation, and all you're doing is making things worse? You ever felt like that? But I got to tell you, when you look at this whole situation, when you look at what God is trying to do here, we realize something. Sometimes it gets harder before it gets better. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes it gets harder before it gets better. Because the moment you decide to make a change, Satan starts to strike back. He makes your life busier. He puts some other challenge that happens. Somebody gets sick, or they double your work at your work for school or at work. Right? We've been there. I remember when I was studying the Bible, Satan started throwing temptations at me that I'm like, well, I always wanted that before I was a Christian. And now God, now it's like, all right, well, I have to choose between choosing God and getting something that I always wanted. Something that I never thought was even attainable. And so Satan strikes at us. And we say, well, I can't do that. It's too hard. And we take the difficulty as an indication to stop. As an indication to say, well, I gave it my best effort, but I guess this just isn't meant to change. I guess this just isn't meant to be different in my life. And we start looking at naturalistic causes. Now, I am a very, very logical thinker, and I think this kind of is not, it holds me back. Because I look at my life, I look at the situations, and I think 1 + 1 = 2. That's it, right? If I do X, this is what's going to come from it. That's it, right? Am I the only one who can think that way? You just think, okay, if I do this, then I know this is the outcome that I'm going to get, and I'm not even going to try to do something else because I already see what's going to happen. I already know what's going to happen, so what's the point in me actually stepping out and trying to make the change when I already know the outcome? Maybe we feel like we've tried it that way before. Maybe you feel like you've tried Christianity. Maybe you feel like you've tried your relationship with God before. Maybe you've been a Christian for years and years and years. And you feel like, well, I already understand this. I already get it. And it didn't work last time, so it's not going to work this time, right? Yeah, that makes sense to me. And so we get trapped by our own thoughts. Trapped by our brain because of consistent patterns of slavery that we've had in our own thoughts, in our own mind, that have been set up over time. And we start to view things like even just spending time, taking a day to connect with the Lord. As an impossibility, as a luxury, and not as an essential thing. Right? You ever think that? Like sometimes when we connect with God or we take the time to connect with God, you can feel lazy. You can feel like you're not really doing anything. You're not really producing anything. Like if you pray, I'm just talking to the, today I just feel like I'm talking to the air. Is anything really going to change by me just throwing these words up? Can God even hear what I'm saying? Is He even listening? I mean, 400 years of slavery, I'm sure they were questioning, God, are You even listening to me? You know, maybe if you're praying about something, 5 years, 10 years, God, are You even listening to me? Do You even hear what I'm saying to You? Do You know how long I've been struggling with this? Do You care? Do You even care? And so we stop putting in that effort. We stop trying to make a change. You know, I was watching recently on YouTube this Big Think video on the 40% rule. And this guy tells a story. He went and he ran this ultra marathon. It's meant to be a six-person relay marathon race. So you can imagine it's pretty intense. And so you're supposed to bring your own supplies, and this guy looks over at the start of the race and he sees that there's a Navy SEAL who's there to start and run in this race. Now the Navy SEAL is going to run all six legs of the race by himself, has a lawn chair that he's strapped to his back, a couple of crackers, and a bottle of water. Does he sound prepared? So as he's running this race, the guy who's telling the story keeps track of his progress. About mile 70. I don't think I've ever 70. Have any of you ever tried to run 70 miles? 70. All right, around mile 70, I just said the 7 so many times. He breaks all of the small bones in both of his feet starts having kidney damage and finishes the race regardless. And so the guy is sitting here, he's telling this story. He looks over at him, he's like, this guy's crazy. I need to go have a conversation with him. I need to figure out what is going on in his head. Is he just a genius or is he insane? How does this work? And so they sit and he goes and he meets up with him. And as they're talking, he starts realizing, wow, there's something really impressive about this. There's something that I can learn. Now, maybe I don't need to take it to the extreme where I break all the feet, the small bones of my feet and get kidney damage, right? That's a little extreme, right? But maybe I'm capable of far more than I believe that I am. If he can do that, maybe. And so he has him sit down. He tells him to go. He's like, all right. They go over to a pull-up bar. I want you to do as many pull-ups as you can. And so the guy goes over to the pull-up bar. And he goes and he's like, gets 8 solid pull-ups in. It's nice, right? And so then he goes, all right, take 30 seconds. All right, I want you to do as many pull-ups as you can. So he goes and he goes again. He's like, barely gets over the bar. 6. Nice. Take 30 seconds. Do it again. All right, so he goes and he goes again. He's as hard as he can. 4. 4 pull-ups. They take a 30-second break. And he's like, all right, that's pretty good. The Navy SEAL turns to him. All right, now I want you to do 100 more. 100 more. And he said, I can't even lift my arms. What do you mean you want me to do 100 more pull-ups? I can't do it. My arms are shot. I can't lift them above my head. And he's sitting there, I guess we're going to be here for a very long time. A very long time while he's trying to do this. And so he goes and he ends up completing and doing 100 pull-ups after he thought he was already maxed out. And he sat there and he said, I learned in that moment that what I thought I was capable of was nowhere close to what I really could do. And the Navy SEAL turned to me and said, look, when your body is telling you, when your mind is telling you you've had enough, you're only actually at about 40% of your potential capacity. That's kind of crazy, right? When we're sitting there saying, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Now, I listen, I'm like, wow, that's really inspiring. That was really helpful for me to sit there and think about, and it's helped me to, and I'm gonna draw a distinction in a second. But it's helped me to just open that door of saying, wow, all of these times that I feel overwhelmed, what if I was capable of more than I think I am? What if I am? Now, that's not even taking into consideration that I think that I can complete the change, but what if I just could do a little more? What if I could just do one more pull-up at a time? And I do that 100 times over and over again. Now I think there's a problem with this logic though. And I think that's awesome, that's incredible. We as people can do far more than we believe that we're capable of. But what's messed up about this equation is it does not include God in it. And so this is where we as believers set ourselves apart. Now, I want to be clear with this. What I'm about to say, we are not able to do everything that we set our minds to. What do you think about that? Is that okay? Is that kind of different than... Because I think sometimes we have this thing of God, oh God, well if I set my mind to it, God will empower me and enable me to do anything and everything that I want to do. That's a very self-centered, selfish way of trying to change because you're changing the way that you want to change. The way that you believe you should change. When God is saying, hey, if it's my will, if I call you to it, you will be able to change this. It's not one plus one with God, it's one plus the Alpha Omega equals miracles. God is able to do far more than we ask or imagine, but we have to step into His box, His way of thinking, His power, and not our own. You're not going to be able to change or produce lasting change through just thinking, well, I can do more than I think I can. No. Change is real change. Christian change is only possible because God says this is how it will be, and we trust that He will hold to His word. We have faith that God will do as He says. Now sometimes that is really, really difficult for us to wrap our minds around and to even believe. You know, in Exodus chapter 6, one over, it says, therefore, starting in verse 6, Exodus 6, 6, not 6, 6, 6, Exodus 6, 6, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I, God, will free you from being slaves to them. And God, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. You see what I mean? You see what the Scriptures are saying? God is the one who makes the change. God is the one who empowers it. And he goes on, and when you think about all of the miracles that happened, Moses just showed up and believed that God would do as he said. He just said, alright God, I trust that you are going to make this happen. I believe that you are going to make this happen. How? I don't know. Do you know how God made all these frogs come out of nowhere? Do you know how God turned the sky to darkness? Do you know how God killed the firstborn son? Well, that one we do. It's an angel, right? But sometimes we get trapped because we try to figure out how God is going to bring about the change in our life. That we don't just trust Him and allow Him to make that change for us. And just say, okay, God, I believe you. I don't know how this is going to work, but if you say this can change, that any sin that I have been struggling with persistently in my life, any faithlessness, that if I can trust that you are going to be true to your word, that I'm just going to leave it in your hands. I'm going to leave it in your hands to move and act as you see fit. But the challenge with that is that, like in verse 9, here it says, Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to them because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Those two factors. They had trouble trusting and believing God's work because they were discouraged and because they were overworked. I think we can relate to that, right? I mean, it's so easy to be discouraged from factors with your family, factors even you're sharing your faith. Nobody's listening. You feel like you're awkward. You look at yourself in the mirror. You look at somebody else. You say, okay, well, I can't do what they do. I've just got too much going on. Well, maybe it could be different. Nah, I don't know. But right now, there's just too much. There's too much that I'm feeling. And so Moses comes, and he comes with a message from the Lord. A message from the Lord. A man just trusting. You know, if Moses didn't allow God to change him and by extension change the nation of Israel, it would have been another generation that knew slavery. And so I want to make sure that we understand what's at stake here when we're talking about the change that God is able to do in our life. There's a lot that's at stake. Right? Pharaoh said, look, nothing bad's going to happen if we don't take time to really worship God, connect Him. And being transformed into Jesus' likeness is an act of worship. It is an act of worship. It's an act of worship that we live out every day of our lives. And I don't know what your family history is, whether for you, one or both of your parents weren't in the picture, whether they were gone or traveled a lot or divorced, or they didn't give you the emotional needs that you felt like you needed, right? That they didn't meet your emotional needs growing up. But you need to decide two things. One, that's enough. I can't keep on living this way in slavery. You got to get out of that mindset of this will never change. No, this needs to change. And two, trust that God is able to do what He says. Now, I remember a few years ago, I sat down with a family and with a teenager, and his dad had a terrible temper and was extremely disrespectful to his wife. And I remember sitting there with this teen guy, and we were having a conversation, and you know, I turned to him and I had so much empathy for him because I could see the environment that he was growing up in and the challenges that came with it and how it was affecting him and it hurt, and part of me was like, man, this isn't fair. This isn't fair that he has to go through this, that he has to struggle with this in the same way that it wasn't fair for generation after generation of the Israelites to be enslaved. But I turned to him and I said, look, you have to decide the kind of man that you want to be. Now, I see your circumstances. I understand that it's been like this. But if you do not make the change, if you don't consciously choose to say, God, I want you to transform me because you've called me to be different, I can be different. I can take Jesus' example and follow it in my life. If you don't do that, then another generation in your family is going to go by where they're still enslaved to the same things. And so whether you are young or old and you are sitting in this room today, whether you are old like Moses, 80 years old and up, or around there, right? Or young like we see many of the other incredible men and women in the Bible. You have a choice to make. God has given us the power to change. To change into Christ's image. To free us from slavery to sin. Are you going to believe His words? Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.